How are we doing this morning? Good, good, good. Vibrations. Okay, three of you got that, and the rest of you? I can't speak for. How are we all doing? I'm actually excited about this new series that we're going to do, simply because I don't know how I'm going to use my notes and what I'm going to do this morning, but I'm just going to just go for it and see where we land up. And one of the things is that we need to know is that when I discussed this with the elders and we prayed this through, I really felt, not just us, but worldwide, churches do not have a culture of invite. And I know some of you are good at it, but we want everyone to be good at it and great at it. And we're going to have a look at some scriptures, and we want to see, and coming out of metamorphoses and worms and caterpillars and silkworms for some and butterflies and all that kind of stuff. We've got some great cultures. Do you know that every church has ethos and cultures in their churches? And we have some great cultures. We have a great culture of coffee. We have a great culture of hospitality. We have a great culture of worshiping together and praying together. We don't have a great culture of invite. You know that if we got hold of this thing, and it took us a year to get this right. Do you know that in 1 year we would double the church? Just if everybody just invited one person. So you can work it out, 20 people, then becomes 40, and 40 becomes 80, and 80 becomes... Well, Mark, you're just all about numbers. Absolutely. So let's just kill that religious spirit. Yeah, absolutely. Because as Reinhard Bonnke says, we want to plunder hell to populate heaven. I'm not talking about transfer church growth. I'm talking about unchurched. People who don't know Jesus. I mean, when do you remember Kevin preached? He put that little clip up and they were asking, do yourselves a faker. Do yourselves a faker. Go out into the streets with a video camera and preach and ask people, do you know Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about this? And see what their response is. It'll shock you. Not everybody living in a first world country in 2013 has heard of Jesus Christ. As strange as it may seem. I just love what has been going on this morning in terms of the pre-service prayer meeting and the worship and the words that Michael sort of preached part one. I'm going to give part 1B this morning of the new series, Invite. And I thought maybe you should have changed the name and called it, you know, Steve Curtis Chapman does the song called This is the Great Adventure. This is a great adventure for us. That's how we should look at it. We are going on a great adventure. Why? Because we care about what Jesus cares. We care about the lost and the dying and the unchurched and those who've never heard of Jesus Christ. One, two, three, four. My word, you're a hard crowd today. You know, Chris was standing up saying his flesh is rebelling and everything. I've felt, can I just be honest? I've felt like we've been walking through honey today. Not good honey, bad honey. And I every time I think and I pray about this thing, I think this is a word the church needs to hear. And that's why the enemy is trying to debilitate me from preaching this word. Because he doesn't want us, I don't say you, us, to hear this and get this into our hearts. So Father, I pray this morning, Lord God, that this word will go with your power, your authority, your anointing, Lord God. As I speak the words, Lord, you will speak through me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, this morning I want to speak about influencing my oikos. Say that with me. Influencing my oikos. So this is very personal now. This is very personal because it's not ours or yours, it's my. Say my. No, louder than that. There we go. So now I know we're talking to the right kind of people. So first of all, we have to understand, for those of you who've been here, maybe you've never seen this before, who we are, what we are. So number one, we believe in the Trinity, the Godhead, the King and His kingdom. That's what it's all about. It's not actually about ourselves. The second thing, we are a Word and Spirit people. There's, you know, some churches like to just, we're a Word-based church or we're a Spirit church. Well, that's a divorce of Jesus Christ, and you can't do that in the Trinity and the Godhead. The Word and Spirit has to be one and the same, and you cannot divorce the two. We have to be Word and Spirit. And we're an apostolic prophetic people. That's another whole sermon series. And of course, we've talking about our five e-grace visions. Encounter God, engage people, equip disciples, empower leaders, and extend the kingdom of God. That's what we're all about. To make it look like another way is encounter God. Remember when I did this, I started with engaging people, and that's where we are with this series. We want to engage people for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of their souls. We want to equip disciples. We want to empower leaders into the various places, as you can read. It's all there, easy read. And in doing so, we want to extend the kingdom. But the point is, if we do all of that and we don't do number one, encounter God, then we're just a happy little club. And we should all rather just go home. And I don't know where I would go, but, well. We have a culture, and that is set in stone. We can't change that. Well, the Spirit of God is not here. No, maybe not with you, but with us it is. Because when we gather together, because you have the living Spirit of God in you, you have the living Jesus Christ inside of you, whenever you are, the Spirit of God is there. Unless you left Him at home, some miraculous way. But wherever we gather, the Spirit of God is there. And sometimes we dial into it, and sometimes we dial out of it. But He is here nonetheless. And we want to be more intimate. We want to understand and have a deeper revelation. And we want to see the manifest goodness of God. Shaking and falling down is not the manifest presence of God. It is the outworking of the manifest presence of God. We must get it right. Because where I am the manifest presence of God. And where you are the manifest presence of God. It's way off topic, but hey, it looks good to me. So let's look at, we don't have to turn there because I've got a whole bunch of places for us to go in Scripture. But in Matthew chapter 22 verse 9, it talks about the parable of the wedding and the great wedding feast. It says there, go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast, as many as you find. And the whole point of that parable was that the Jews had been invited and they didn't want to come and they refused to come. And so then Jesus said in this parable, go to the highways and invite as many as you find. And whoever will come will come. And we will see those that are around them will come. And then you can go on and read the whole thing. But the point is, and part of it is in John 10, that we have been grafted into the vine. That we are part of the wedding feast. And you know what I dig about this, what I love about this wedding feast? I've got to watch my colloquialisms. But for this side here, I can say dig, because they know what I'm talking about. And for this side here, we love. So anyway, and the point I'm making is, you're not so good about the wedding feast. You know, sometimes if you're going to a wedding feast, you get invited, you get the invitation. And you go, wow, I'm invited. For this wedding feast, you get to choose the guest list. You get to choose the guest list. You get to pray and ask God, God, who should come to the wedding feast? Who should come to the banquet? And then you bring them. And you get to disciple them. That's what I love so much about, hope you don't mind, Melvin. I'm just going to use you this morning. You don't have to get up and do anything, bud. Alan has been discipling Melvin. So at our picnic next week, Melvin's going to get baptized. And Alan's going to do the baptism. I thought that's really cool. We are called, Michael Hughes said, that we are called to be ambassadors for the banquet. And I don't know where I've written this, but I know some. There's no guilt-edged invitation required. All it is, why don't you come? You're invited. The question is, how desperate are you, to plunder hell and populate heaven? How desperate are you to see your friends and your family and your neighbors snatched from the burning flames of hell and go into eternity with you? Let me explain desperation if you don't know what desperation is. Desperation is when I take Chris's head, because he hurt me the other day, and I stick it underwater and I hold it there. And then he says, okay, this is fun. Have you ever held your breath longer than you should? And the first time you go, now, this is not so much fun anymore. And he starts to want to get up, and I just hold his head there a little bit longer. And now he's going, and then the bubbles start to come. And then I have a, and then a desperation kicks in for, this is the air I breathe. And then he fights to get up. That's desperation. Yeah. Lying in bed speaking to my wife about this, she came up with this quote. How does one become a butterfly? One must want to fly so much that one is willing to give up being a caterpillar. Wise words from a wise woman. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Thank you, my darling. That's such a compliment. How does one become a butterfly? One must want to fly so much that one is willing to give up being a caterpillar. You know, I've seen in life that sometimes we won't do something which is really, really capable of us to do until the desperation factor kicks in. We won't cut up the credit cards until we got guys knocking on the doors and making phone calls that you don't want to answer. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've lived there. Oh, you're also righteous. Okay, yes you are. But the problem is that we have willy-nilly subscribed to the lie of the enemy who wants to hold us in a holding pattern. Because as long as he holds us there, he gets to do all the smiling and we don't get to choose the guest list. We need to understand some of the lies, and I want to help kill some of those lies today. I hope you see this as a word of encouragement to get out there and be raving lunatics for Jesus Christ. When I was young, I was a teenager, we had this guy, Colin. Colin Wiley was his name. Colin never, ever frowned. He was this, it's like someone took him when he got saved and slapped the smile on his face. And as it hit him, it just stuck there. Not unlike, you know, the Joker? And Colin was like, Colin, what's happening? He says, man, it's so good. Jesus is so good. Yeah, what else? Oh, he saved me from all my sins. And he was just this babbling, effervescent person. But isn't that how we should all be? I know we have ups and downs, and downs and ups. But we get to choose to set the atmosphere. When we understand and think about the cross and what Jesus did for us, and the transactions that took place at the cross, we don't have to be the caterpillar, we can be the butterfly as we flutter by. Number one, only those that are gifted to evangelize should evangelize. Lies, lies, lies. And we've gone, yes, leave it to Bridget. Yes, someone else will do it. No, we are called to be ambassadors. We have been given a ministry. We don't have to wait for anything more. Well, I'm not gifted to evangelize. You know why? Because you have a picture in your head, which is church speak, what is a learned behavior in church, when someone said to you, well, now we're going to have an evangelism program, and when you've passed the program, you'll be good enough to go out and do it. That is another lie. Shall I tell you who the best evangelists are? Those who just got saved. Because they're so excited about Jesus. They so understand. And as we go along in our lives, we forget. The memory starts to fade. I still, nearly 9 years later, I still come into this building and sit in the dark by myself and I look around and say, God, you are so good to us. Thank you for this building, Lord. And I hear all my friends who've been planting for 20 years and they're still doing the school thing. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm so grateful. And I never let that... And I think back of when I got saved and when the Holy Spirit filled me with His Spirit and what happened and what was the experience that I... And I don't sit there and think, well, that's it. But that's my memory bank. My liner's blanket to understand what He did for me. And what He died on the cross. And why He did it. And the point of us going from this caterpillar to the butterfly is not so we can flutter by and be pretty. I preached once about the difference between a sail on a yacht and a flag. Flags are always brightly colored and they flap around in the breeze and they say nothing. But when you set up the sail on a yacht and the Holy Spirit catches that wind and it takes you, you're going somewhere. And we want to be butterflies. What do butterflies do? They reproduce after themselves. And that's what we should be doing for the gospel, for the kingdom, extending all of those e-graces, engaging people, encountering God, extending the kingdom, discipling people. Can you hear that? I'm a little bit passionate this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, coming back to the program thing. If you think that that's what it's all about, then let me show you something. Here is the program. Read it. Read the manual for the program. Number two, this is it. This is the program. And you never need another program. I had a friend, well, an acquaintance in South Africa, came from another church and joined our church. Came in, had a blazer on. And he had all these little badges down the side here. Now, he knew me before I got saved. And now, he was a Christian. And now, I've got saved. And now, I'm a pastor in the church. And he came up to me and he said, hi, how are you doing? I said, hi, Larry, how are you doing? And he said, have you got any of these? I'm like, no. I said, well, because I'm stupid, I ask. I said, so what are they? He says, well, this is for phase 3 of evangelism. This one is because I passed the program for School of the Spirit. This one, I was like, what? No, I'm a son of the King. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm walking in God's glory. I don't need badges. But his identity was in his badges. Come to the prayer meeting, stood at the back. I'm like, that reminds me of like a piece of scripture, you know. Anyway, do you know what I'm talking about? Read the manual. Okay. Let's move on. Next one. I'm not equipped to share the gospel. I am inadequate. Who said so? Yeah. Go and read Luke chapter 9 verses 1. We don't have time. 1 to 6. And it says, and he sent his 12 disciples out, and he said unto them, I've given you all power and all authority to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There's your program. Who gives you the authority? Jesus. Who gave you the power? Jesus. What did he command you to do and commission us to do? Go out and declare the kingdom of God and heal the sick. What else do you need? Well, I'm shy. Yeah, me too. Now you laugh, I can hear it. But you know that I used to be very shy. I would walk into this room and I would stand and I'm a great observer. Don't think I miss anything. I'm a great observer. When Bridget and I were unchurched and we used to go to parties, I would stand in the corner and watch. And Bridget would come up and she'd say, did you see that guy? I said, the one with the blue shirt and the gray slacks and the blonde hair. She'd say, where were you? How did you see? I said, babes, remember, I miss nothing. Oops. I'm a great observer. A passion to go and, you know, you like to walk the malls. I'm a mall rat. I like to go to a place of coffee and I like to observe people. And that passion observing people was how God infused in my heart to come to Canada. One of the first things. I sat in Yorkdale Mall and I watched all these different nationalities. And I have quite an affinity for different nationalities and hearing languages simply because I've worked in the shipping industry for 20 years. And our Lord down there said, wouldn't it be amazing to plant a church here, get all these people from different nationalities, get them saved, and then send them back to their home countries to plant churches. That was the first thought in my head. And I thought, that works. Yes, Lord, I can do this. So what we understand that shyness, let me just read this, is an issue developed in the lower brain protecting you from a perceived threat. And it says we feel inferior. And we are not inferior. We are sons and daughters of the High King. We can go on. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. Do not allow the little lie in the brain say, I'm so shy. I don't know what to say. Open your mouth and the Lord will fill it. I don't have enough scriptures. Where do you have to have a bunch of scriptures? All you got to do is tell them, before I was a sinner, now I am saved. And your testimony overcame by the testimony of the word of their testimony in the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need another program. We don't need to have a script in our heads. If you want, I can give you one. And maybe we'll preach on that somewhere in the series. The point is though, we are more than conquerors. I have the Spirit of God inside of me. Holy Spirit, what should I say to this person? Open your mouth and I will fill it. Bang. That's all. Hi, how are you? Glad to see you. What are you doing? Conversation. That's what witnessing. Jesus didn't say to be a witness. He said you will be witnesses. Acts 1:8. He didn't say, we're going to send you to school so that you know how to be a witness or to witness. Let's go out in the street to witness. That sounds very good. Go and be a witness. Whew. Okay, let's move on. My oikos. What's oikos? Some of you are going, oh, we know exactly what that is. Some of you are not too sure what that means. So oikos is your sphere of influence. We need to understand it. In the original Old Greek, it actually meant your household, just your household. But later in Greek, it became your household and those surrounding relationships that you have. So your oikos, you are the center of this universe. Your friends, your neighbors, your workplace, your school, college, your uni, your community, your relatives. Your immediate group, your microcosm of the world at large for whom God sent His Son. We mustn't forget that He didn't send His Son just for me. Yes, He did, but He sent it for those around you, because when you know the hidden secrets of the kingdom, it's up to us to divulge and to tell. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the anointing, Lord. Your oikos is the safest place for you to share the gospel of the kingdom. What works and what doesn't work? Well, Mark, why don't you just do all the work? Because that's not biblical. And that doesn't work. 2% come to know the Lord Jesus by advertisements or advertisements. 6% by pastoral invitation. 6% by organized evangelism crusades. Well, what about Billy Graham? Well, what about Billy Graham? It is recorded that he spoke, preached to 22 million people in his lifetime. Let's do 6% on that. Substantial. Still, 6%. By friends or relatives, if you're good at maths, 86%. By one-on-one evangelism. One-on-one invite. You know what the number one reason is for why people don't come to church? Because no one invited them. I'm not joking, I'm serious. Because no one invited them. And do you know that somebody is waiting for us, you, me, to invite them? And we get shy. Because we're afraid of rejection. Man, oh man. Anyone being beaten for being a Christian? No, don't think so. Anyone being carted off to jail yet? Not yet, no. Anyone being whipped? No. Anyone got shipwrecked? No. Can I go? Shall I go on? So here's the nice little cliched question. If Christianity was a crime and your oikos around you, would they find you guilty? Or would they say, no way, he's on our side? I spoke a little bit about submariners, Christians. I'm a glug glug, you know, underwater, just silent, run deep. They won't know we're here. And then we'll just pop up somewhere. Hi. You know, I appreciate the courage that it takes for visitors to walk in the room. People come in here, they don't know who we are, they don't know how crazy we are, they don't know if we're sane or insane, whether we preach the Bible, we don't preach the Bible. They don't know anything, and they walk in here and go, Kevin and Trish, great examples. Sat at the very last two, I know, what can I tell you? Sat in the very last two chairs at the back. I stood up to preach, and the Lord said to me, they've come here to check you out to see if you're a cult. So they stuck around for coffee afterwards. I said, so, are we a cult? They both went. How'd you know? I said, the Lord told me. There you go. So now they're the cult leaders. Now you're the cult leaders. We have been charged to carry the ministry of reconciliation to the lost. What an awesome privilege. It's a greater privilege than anything you can imagine. God is focused on a special... I'm going to speak slower. I'm trying to rush because of the time. God must focus on a special methodology of oikos. Has God got a method? Yes, it's called oikos. The great evangelism thing only came back later. The whole thing was in the household. Was inviting their neighbors in, inviting their friends in. Where we see that when someone was influenced their oikos, a world changer happened and took place. There was a demon-possessed man. A swindler called Zacchaeus. A royal official with a dying son. How was his desperation? A tax collector called Matthew. A businesswoman called Lydia. A serial divorcee at a well. Well, you've been divorced four times and the guy you're living with, you're not married to. Hello. A Philippian jailer. They all went back and influenced their oikos. How are we doing? Culturally, socially, economically, they were all different. Yet they all carried the same core of humanity. Their expression of eureka. See what I have found. I once was lost. I am now found. And maybe for some of you it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I don't know. Maybe it was yesterday. But the point I'm making is we should never use that fresh-faced point of contact when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. How can we do this? I'm so glad you asked. Influencing my oikos. I don't really have time to read everything, but I'm going to read some of it. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 10. And we will see that in actual fact, it's got truly nothing to do with us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Genesis. Just testing. Yeah, I know. Acts chapter 10, verse 24. It's up on the board. You can see it. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Said, there's a guy coming to my house. He knows something we don't know. Come and see. I'm inviting you to the house. Come and have a look and see. Let's go to verse 44. When Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Isn't it amazing? While Peter was sharing the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Well, I don't know how to do that. You don't have to do anything. Cornelius didn't know how to do anything. He just knew. I was lost. I am now found. Am I shouting? That's good, because I'm excited. I'm not angry. I'm not shouting at you. I just want to make sure that the back row hears me. And in the streets. And the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews, who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Are we lucky? Are we, praise God, hallelujah, that we were grafted into this. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Salvation, baptism. We think it's an option. Well, I'll just leave it until I'm ready. Ready for what? So, again, if you're saved and you've never been baptized, speak to me afterwards. Next Monday, right? Monday, we're going to kill you and raise you to your new life. Because that's what baptism's all about. I go under the waters to declare I no longer am Mark. I'm a new Mark in Jesus Christ. And I want to outwardly declare this to all of you so I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because once we've broken the ice, as it were, which we understand in Canada, then I'm on my path. I'm on the great adventure, me and Stephen Curtis Chapman. He invites them. They come in. They hear for the first time the foundation of grace. If you go and read further on, you'll see between 34 and 39, I think it is. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died, was crucified, raised again on the third day, etc., etc., etc. They were filled with the presence. They encountered God. These five little e-grace things we have, well, they're not so little, they're very important. They're not just great ideas. Downloaded by God for us. God can break through any barrier we think we may have. He is more than able. In Acts 16, verses 14 to 15, we won't turn there. Acts 16, 31 and 33, I spoke about Lydia and the jailer. And what happened when they got saved? Well, the jailer probably got fired because he let Paul out of jail. Got let go. How do you say that here? Let go. Right? He got what? Retrenched. Yeah. We need a new jailer, advertising. The other one bombed out and got saved. Anyway. What did Lydia and the jailer do? If you go and read it. They opened their hearts to the gospel. They opened their homes to the apostolic. We need to learn to invite and open our... Man, the best place to speak to people about the kingdom is in your lounge. When you've won... No, well, when you've dined them. Hey! Hello. Juice. I was talking about juice. Oh, my word. Naughty pastor. There we go. Let's move on. It's a great place to influence. Oh, well, just for a little bit of humor. Acts 10:5. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who's called Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner whose house is by the sea. So that's actually the modern day picture of the city of Joppa. Right? Nineveh, Noah, Jonah, and Simon Peter the tanner. And that's his little door there. And so that we were there a little while ago. So that's how I know this is true. Anyway. Number two. Your friends, Acts chapter 5. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 18. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord, am I reading right? Acts 5, 18 to 20. Yeah. And put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out. Go out into the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Why am I reading that? Wrong book. Sorry. Could someone tell me that Acts is wrong? It's Mark chapter 5. Sorry, Mark chapter 5. The great book, Mark. Mark chapter 5. I don't know, how did Acts get in there? I don't know, it did. Mark 5. And he was getting into the boat, and the man who had been possessed with the demon, this is right, begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Everyone marveled. He didn't just go home to Pickering. He went to Scarborough, Pickering, Ajax, Whitby, and carry on. He went to Decapolis, the 10 cities, and told them what had happened to him. What an amazing story. We see that the people marveled. The people will marvel at the work of God in your life. You know what the problem with our testimony telling? Is that we spend 10 minutes telling them, what a bad dude I was. I took drugs and I slapped dogs and I hurt old ladies and I broke into homes. And they're looking at you going, you need a Jesus. And I didn't like my sister. And I fought with my father. No, no, you need Jesus. Absolutely. And then we go, and then I got saved. Praise God. They want to know I was a sinner. I didn't live my life right. But let me tell you what happened when Jesus came into my life. And then we tend to spend 10, 15 minutes telling them about the goodness of God and what Jesus has done and how he's changed your life and even your challenges and your trials that you're going through. But praise God, I'm an overcomer and I can do this. They don't want to know how bad you were because that's depressing. Bad to the bone. Oh, well. I know. Ben Zander, in his book, The Art of Possibility, he talks about rule number 6. We read Romans 12, verse 3. It says we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves. And rule number 6, and I know I fail at this one, do not take yourself so seriously. Someone told me, in life group I'm a whole bunch of fun, in church I'm not so much fun. Yeah, I know, because I've got my Bible in my hand. But that's okay. When you read from Ben Zander's book, The Art of Possibility, in rule number 6, he says this. When we peel away the layers of opinion, pride, entitlement, and inflated self-description, others will feel a connection. When we peel away our veneers of our self-importance and who we are. Well, brother, I got saved, you know. Oh, no, that's very daunting. But when we just come in humility and humbleness of heart and share the love of Jesus, we'll peel away those layers, we will make a connection. Because in truth, people are looking for reality. They don't know it. And you discovered it, you didn't know it, I didn't know it, that we are created to worship God. And that's what we are created to look for spirituality. And some have found it in all funny places and things. They haven't found the truth. But we have found the truth in Jesus Christ. Third one, Friends and neighbors, Luke 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's Luke in the book. Luke 15, we're nearly done. Luke 15. Where are we? Luke 15, 8 to 10. Verse 8. Or that woman, the parable of the lost sheep and this lost coin, or that woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together, she invites her friends and her neighbors in saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And just like the lost coin, when someone comes to the Lord, there's a party in heaven because of that one. And we should be joyous about it. And we're excited about it because another one has been snatched from the flames of hell. I just want to say again, we talk about eternity in heaven. Hell is eternity. It's not a nice place. It's not like we get to hell, oh, I don't like this place. It's not like coming to, I don't like this church, I don't like the worship, I don't like the music, I'm going somebody else. You don't get that choice. Once it's done, it's done. Our desperation should make sure that nobody gets into that place. The peril, she goes to her neighbors and invites them in. Sad stat, I don't know why, I always look for stats. But I can only always find Americans, and I think they're the ones who like to brag about their stats. Do you know that in America, 72% of people do not know their neighbors? 72% do not know who their neighbors are, what their names are, what do they do, where they live, blah, 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 blah. How are we doing? You know, we're creatures of habit. So you don't go to the butcher this week and the butcher that next week and we go to that butcher there. We got the same butcher, baker, candlestick maker. That's how we are. Do you know the person that is selling the product to you? Do you know their name? Do you take the opportunity to say, hi, what's your name? Do you take the opportunity to say, hey, can I pray for you? That's all it is. It's seeking God and asking friends and neighbors, and those that we come into our oikos. You know, you don't have to take the black book and thump it on the counter. You're going to hell. That's not helpful. I know, old times we were taught that. That's how you do it. You stand on the creed. Repent! Repent! You're going to hell! It's the truth. But that's not helpful. You know, we don't want to scare people into the kingdom. We want people saved because they get the love of Jesus Christ. They get the power of the gospel. They get the transactions of the cross. They get the grace of Jesus Christ. It's a journey we want them to look forward to. Ooh, I better get saved. I don't want to go to hell. It's the wrong motive to get saved. And it won't last. Just saying. Last one. Well, we time out, and I've still got something else I want us to do. Number four, work colleagues. Bridge, can you help? I have a test for you this morning. Don't let your brain freak out now. Oh. Anybody, help get people to hand them out, Libby. People. Acts 18, verses 1 to 3, we see that Paul comes and he entertains Aquila and Priscilla. Paul was a work colleague, your work colleague of the couple who helped influence the gospel. If you go and read it, you'll see Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, and what did he do? He sat down with Aquila and Priscilla and he helped make tents. He worked with them and said, hey guys, how you doing? Oh, we're good, man. Little issue in our marriage. What's the issue? He says, no, I know a guy called Jesus. I can help you. And he helped them. And so what happens? They were caterpillars, they became butterflies, and then they meet this guy called Apollos, who knew God. And then they say to Apollos, hey Apollos, what's happening? He says, man, I know this guy called Jesus, and I think, and they said, no, whoa, hold it, Safari. Let us tell you the deeper things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they helped this guy, who was sort of an apostolic figure. So now you're all reading that thing, you're not listening to me. So let's just jump there. I know. I'm trying to do it quickly. Okay, so this is what I call the oikos test. So take out your pen. Take a pen. Borrow a pen. You should come to church with a pen. Household, your social group, I've explained this. Do you have family and friends, co-workers, neighbors, associates who are unchurched? So number one, write down 8 names of people that are your oikos. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do it. Write it down. Because I know if I send you home, you'll go home and you won't do it. So we're doing it this morning. Who needs a pen? Listen, this is a very special pen. Make sure I get it back. It's got the mark. That pen came all the way from Germany. Hey? Hallelujah, yeah. Nah. Shouldn't be too hard. Just write down 8 names of the people that you spend most of your time with. No one's going to look at the paper. No one's going to test you on it. I don't know who I spend time with. You need to come and see me afterwards. Okay, should have your 8 names. Now I want you to cross off every name on that list who are Christians. Just, now you, my instruction was write down names of 8 people you spend time with. I knew this was not going to be easy. So cross off every name on the list that who are Christians. You get that, Vince? Yes, good. Some of you have crossed off all 8 names. Sad. But true. I know, I did this once before and I crossed off all the 8 names too, so don't feel bad about it. So then, how many you got left? Commit to praying daily for your oikos, that they would sense God's presence in their lives and respond to His drawing them to Himself. Offer yourselves to being that instrument in their process. Pray they would respond to your invite. Take one name if you like, circle it, and be diligent in responding to the sentence at the bottom. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with that heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Bless you. Have a great day. Invite someone to church on Sunday. Invite someone to the picnic. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, God, that You care so much about the lost, Lord. Father, would You give us an opportunity to invite, to speak to our friends, our neighbors, our families, those that are around us. God, that we would be the witnesses that you've called us to be, that we don't feel we have to go out and witness, but simply are witnesses, that people would see the difference in our lives. Lord God, we want to lift your name up high. We want to boast about you, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.